Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to EMP. Today we are going through the passage of Exodus 3 today. Before we get into it, I'll just give a quick recap of what happened in Exodus 2. So in Exodus 2, Moses is born. He is raised by the daughter of Pharaoh, but also he is raised by his own mom as his, the one assigned to nurse him and also raise him. He grows up as Egyptian royalty. He's adopted into the Egyptian royalty family. And as a result, he ends up killing an Egyptian, defending a Hebrew. And as a result of that, he ends up running away to Midian. And in Midian, he ends up becoming a shepherd. And also, he ends up marrying one of the Midian priest's daughters. And he has a child. And the chapter ends with God recognizing that the people of God, the Israelites, are suffering and under bondage, and basically ends with saying God took notice of them. So let's read chapter 3 of Exodus. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not being consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burning up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their outcry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. And now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Assuredly, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, This is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, This is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is the name of all generations to use to call upon me. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So I said, I will bring you out of the opposition of Egypt to the land of Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will pay attention to what you say, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now, please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will reach out with my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house for articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters, so you will plunder the Egyptians. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, give thanks to you this morning that we can come hear scripture, hear your word, meditate on what you wrote, Lord. And we just ask that this morning that we would give us revelation, understanding, and the significance of the text and the words, Lord, that it would transform us, come to a place of deeper understanding of who you are, Lord, and how we are to live on this world, but not be of this world, God. And so we just invite you, Holy Spirit, just to lead this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay. Okay, so we start with, at this point in Moses' life, he's leading his flock to Mount Horeb. And it's also known later on as Mount Sinai. And at this point in Moses' life, he's approximately now 80 years. So you can kind of split up Moses' life into three quadrants. No, not quadrants. Three parts of 40 years. So the first 40 years, he's in Egypt. And at the end of those 40 years, when he hits about his 40s, that's when he flees to Midian. And this is now close to around 80 years now. And so already, I mean, we just read the text and we know that this is kind of like when Moses is really steps into his mission, his calling in life at 80 years old. Kind of crazy. Like for us, we think, oh, the prime is 30. But you know, it really is not what we think is our prime. It's what God thinks, right? And what God's plans for you. And so, you know, even if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, right? We shouldn't make presumptions, right? We should really fix our eyes on God. And for Moses, at 80 years old, at the prime of 80 years old, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire. And so first off, what is this angel of the Lord? Is this one of the angels, right? Michael, Gabriel? No. So whenever in the Bible where we see a reference to the angel of the Lord, it's actually Jesus. It's actually Jesus. And just a side note also, because I know sometimes like, oh, you know, it's kind of confusing, like there's God, the Trinity. So we know God basically appears, but who of the Trinity is it? And what's interesting is, it's actually even for me to do deeper study, I always thought it was actually God the Father who appeared. But in John, it does mention that the only person who ever has seen God the Father face to face is the Son. So only Jesus has seen God the Father face to face. So which implies also that in this moment when Moses encounters God, it's actually Jesus. And so it says Moses was walking around, and then he notices, and this is verse 2, a bush was burning with fire. And then it kind of notes, yet the bush was not being consumed. And so when you're in the desert, I guess, when a bush is burning with fire, it's actually not that unique, okay? Because, I mean, if you've been to the desert, you'll know how hot it can be. And so it was not an uncommon sight where a bush would just spontaneously, I guess, catch on fire because it's just so stinking hot. It's so dry. And so you would see this, bushes on fire. But what was unique about this bush was that it was not being consumed. And so in verse 3, it says, I must turn aside and see this marvelous sight. Why is this bush not burning up? So Moses decides to he basically double takes and decides to have a closer look. And at this point in verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And what's unique here as well is it wasn't until God had Moses' undivided attention did he finally speak, right? It wasn't until he had his undivided attention and decided not only to speak, but call out to Moses and said, Moses, Moses. And in this, I guess, in this culture, the only time you would repeat someone's name like this, it's kind of like, oh, it's kind of, in English, it kind of doesn't make sense. Why would you say Moses? Why didn't you just say Moses? So you would say and repeat the name. It's kind of a term of intimacy, right? It doesn't really make sense in English because rarely does anyone repeat your first name twice. But as I was thinking about it, in at least Chinese culture, we do that, right? So in my case, my name is it's embarrassing. It's my Chinese name is Qin Si Gai, and so some people would call me by the last character, which is a guy. But then people who are really close to me, basically just my mom or my aunties or my grandmother, they would call me Guy Guy, right? So in that same way, Moses, Moses is a term of endearment. And we see later Jesus also kind of mentioned in a kind of different context, but he kind of calls out people who haven't really been in relationship with him, in intimacy, and kind of says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, right? The same thing, Lord, Lord. There you can call someone, you can call God Lord, but if you call him Lord, Lord, you're like, saying, you're calling him by a name that's very intimate. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? I don't even know you, right? So different context, but same use of repeating the name. And so even from here, just a quick takeaway is, in the same way that God didn't speak until he had Moses' undivided attention, we need to do that too, right? We can't just expect, you know, in the middle of the day, I mean, it could happen, but like where we can't expect, oh, okay, like you just, something happens and you just kind of call it out in the busyness for like a millisecond, Lord, help me, Lord, should I do this, that? Sometimes we need to just take the time, you know, retreat or just really give God the time and attention so that he can speak to us. And as a result, God says, here I am. He reveals himself. And he basically, you know, with his presence there, it's become a holy place. And God makes two requirements as Moses approaches. The first thing he says to Moses is he says, don't come near. Okay? And then the second thing he says to Moses is he says, remove your sandals from your feet, for this place on which you are standing is holy ground. And so if you've ever been to our SP retreats or just whenever God really moves, oftentimes we will quote this scripture too, and we would also, I guess, symbolically do the same thing and remove our sandals, remove our shoes, or you know, your flip-flops as we encounter the presence of God. And so obviously we don't apply the first part, right? Because the first part says don't come near me, but during our retreats we would actually try to draw as near as possible. And so why does God say this? He says don't come near me. The reason is because God is holy, right? God is holy, he's pure, he's perfect. And Moses, mankind, was not. And so he couldn't come near, because what would be the consequence of the sin in Moses or any person's life as they drew near is they would die, right? They would die because they're not clean and pure. So at that point, for Moses' own good, he says, stop. You've come close enough. Don't come near. And then he asked him to remove his sandals. What is the significance of removing your sandals? Well, we're fortunate that we are in Asia, and we probably relate with this. And just as when you enter someone's house, you would take off your shoes, right? And why do we do that? Well, I think it's been deeply ingrained in us, so we just think it's cleanliness. But it's that's part of it. You take off your shoes because, you know, you've been outside and you've tracked and stepped in all these different things. But the other thing is, it's kind of a sign of respect, right? What would you think or say of someone who refused to take off their shoes when they came to your house? You'd be like, oh man, that's really disrespectful, right? They're really arrogant. Like, they're coming in as a guest and they're refusing to respect, you know, the house rules and the host. And so removing your sandals was a sign of respect and humility, all these things. And that was the instruction. Like, I mean, same thing, as we approach the Lord God, and we should also do it with humility, right? On a side note, that's why, you know, when, for Sunday service, Sabbath, when we worship and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, yeah, even as you do it on Zoom at home, it matters how you present yourself. It matters the posture in which you draw near to the Lord, right? And so, yeah, you should probably comb your hair, brush your teeth, sit up, or stand as you worship, we know what's going on in our hearts, right? And so let whatever is in your heart, if you're moved and you're deeply respecting and honoring God, let it also reflect in your actions. And so right away, verse 6, God reveals himself to Moses, and he says, I am your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And right away, why does he mention this? Because he's mentioning the covenant, right? Whenever, especially in Exodus or anywhere, as they mention the lineage, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, he's reinforcing and reminding God's people of the covenant that he has formed with them. And so right away, there's an established relationship that God makes to Moses. And then Moses' response is he hides his face, right? At that point, that's when he hides his face. Why? Why did he hide his face? Well, it's because at that point, he actually recognized who this mysterious voice was. And he recognized it was God. And at that point, he hid his face. Why do you hide your face usually? It says, for he was afraid to look at God. Was it afraid that, like, God was going to kill him? Was it, like, why was he afraid to look at God? Well, think about it. Why would we hide our face to another person? What's the situation when my kids would hide my face from me, that they would refuse to look into my eyes? Well, the circumstance is shame, right? If my kids did something wrong, if they didn't tell the truth, if they know they were mean to their siblings, right, and I call them out on it, they can't look me in the eye, right? And as I was reading this, it made me think, oh, maybe I shouldn't, like, when I discipline them, I'm always like, hey, look into my eyes when I talk to you, right? Like, look at me. But it's just so hard because there's this shame upon them. And if you think Moses, look into his life, right? He ran away to Midian because of murder. He murdered someone. He thought he could be the deliverer of the Israelites at that time that were enslaved by the Egyptians. All these things. And so as he recognized, oh my gosh, this is God, there was incredible shame upon him. And so he hid his face. He was afraid to look at the face of God. Just couldn't do it. And then in verse 7, we're kind of try to wrap up with this last point. In verse 7, God responds and then also says, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. So he's making recognition, making it known that he knows exactly what's going on. He's revealing his compassion. He says, I have heard their outcry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. And then in verse 8, this is probably the best part at this point for Moses. He says, I have come to rescue them. I have come to rescue them. He goes on to explain what exactly he's going to do. He's going to rescue them from the Egyptians and lead them into the promised land. And I think at this point, this sounds great to Moses, right? I've come to rescue. But then in verse 10, he says, and now come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. So in verse 8, he says, I have come to rescue. So he shares what he's going to do, God reveals his capability. And at this point, God could have done it his way, supernaturally, and could have, you know, he could have revealed himself. He could have gone to Egypt himself and big booming voice said, let my people go. And his power would come. And the Pharaoh could have just done. But instead, along with I have come to rescue, God also says, I'm going to send you, Moses. So Moses was part of God's plan for the rescue. And I was doing a devotional with my house church, Secrets of the Secret Place. And in one of the chapters about making decisions and making choices, Bob Sorge says, you know, God is more I want to get this right. God is less concerned He said, along with the importance of what God wants to do with your life, right, and the decisions you need to do. So God isn't just concerned with the what, but he's even more concerned with the how, right? Not just the what, but the how. And that's exactly what's happening here, right? So what needs to happen is he's going to come rescue and deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians. But how he goes about it, how he uses Moses is actually even more important. Because God wants to do his work not on his own. He doesn't just want to be revered. I mean, that's part of it, and worshipped, but he also wants to be known, right? And so in order for God to really be known, he needs a partnership with you. He needs a partnership with you. And so we'll end here because we're out of time. And we'll finish the second half. But as we go into worship, just reflect on this last point, right? God is not only concerned with the what in your life, but it's also the how he goes about it with you. And in order to hear the what and also the how, they're both very important, right? Look at Moses. What did he have to do to get these instructions, right, of the what's going to happen, and the how? It says he had to give God his undivided attention. So in other words, he had to really draw near, right? He couldn't just go about his regular life. He couldn't have just, multitasked, like as he was shearing the sheep, as he was feeding the sheep. He had to, just set those things aside, approach God, and then God speak out to him. He had to draw near to him. And then God spoke to him intimately, called him intimately, said, "Moses, Moses," right? And then that's when the what and the how was revealed to him. So at this time, a simple way to respond is simply, let's just draw near. As we worship, let's just draw near to God and allow him to speak tenderly and intimately and reveal his plans to us.
Thanks, Cardia and Samuel.
I was just reflecting. It just kind of spoke to me as I was reflecting on the end of this this verse, on this point of God wants to do not just the what, but the how. And that's, if I think about, you know, Jesus loves that childlikeness that children have, that childlike faith. And just one aspect I was reflecting on is even my kids, right? Of course, what we do together, you know, everything, like, what should we do? It's super important, right? But what maybe I've taken for granted as well is, along with the what for kids, how they do it is very important. And how they want to do it is they always want to do it with me, right? Like if I just say, hey, why don't you just do this, Danielle, my daughter? And she'll be like, well, I want to do it with you together, right? And children are like that. And as adults, I think when we grow up, we kind of lose some of that where we want to do it together. Instead, we want to just get stuff done, right? Be most efficient and most effective. Well, the heart of God, right, along with what he needs to get done, how he goes about it, you know, doing it with us in partnership is what he values. And so, because he wants to be known. And so let's just take a moment to pray. Let's repent for maybe being too focused on always what we need to do. God, what is your plan? What's my next step? What decision do I need to make? Instead of having a desire of not just getting his instruction, but really wanting to do it together with God, doing it in partnership. Let's pray. Yes, God, we thank you that for what you did on the cross, so that because of what you did on the cross, it's not just that we received eternal life, but we can draw near to you. Whereas Moses, he had to stand at a distance as he approached your presence and had to stop. But because of what you did on the cross and brought justification into our lives, we are able to draw as near as possible, Lord. And so we don't want to take that for granted, that we can be so near to you. And we don't want to operate in just getting stuff done, Lord. But we want to have a relationship with you, that we would want to do things together. And the details of even how you want to accomplish things and how you want to partner with us and use us, Lord, that we would want to do that, just as Moses, in the later chapters, it wasn't enough that you blessed him, but he needed your presence to go with him, Lord. And just like us, Lord, we want to have that same desire and same priority, Lord, where we just don't want to be blessed. We don't want just the blessing, Lord, but we want you, God. We want you, because you are the source, Lord, and you're the one that's going to bring peace and fulfillness into our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, let's pray for our community. Let's cover those who are suffering from cancer and going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing, for God's encouragement. Let's pray. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from illness, but even more important, are in need of word of salvation. Let's pray for God to soften their hearts, for God to use the people around them to share the gospel, speak, and share the good news with them. Let's cover those on the list. Also suffering from infirmities, let's just cover them. Pray for God's healing, for testimonies to come from this. Cover the people on this list for jobs. Let's pray for God's provision, to God's leading, to the right place for them. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore, SPSG, also our two Hong Kong plants of SPIN, Indonesia, and SPIL, which is for Philippines. Let's cover all the pastors, the leaders. Let's pray for direction during this difficult time, and let's pray for unity of the church. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's pray for the students, the leaders. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, The Well, River. You can see the leaders in the brackets. Let's pray for each ministry that God would use them and in spite of things being oftentimes online, that God would still use these opportunities to bring miraculous healings and transformations. Let's pray for SP Lights. Let's cover the ministry. I'm not sure if they're starting to minister and reach out right now. But let's pray for the leaders, for the teams. Let's pray for protection and covering over them. Let's pray for the house churches today that are meeting. East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Let's pray for a wonderful time in house church. People will feel connected, and as well as feel connected with each other and God. I pray they have a great sharing and feel convicted in terms of the Sunday sermon on evangelism today. Finally, let's lift up our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the presence of God. Let's pray for to move on Hong Kong, to touch the people, that the church would, in this time of unique circumstances, would find the opportunity to also share the good news. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the COVID situation. Lord, we just are so grateful for today's chapter. And just as you responded to Moses and said that your presence is with him, so is your presence always with us, Lord. And so I just pray, Lord, that we would be intentional with how we live, that we would be a representation, an ambassador of you, Jesus, and we would be your hands and feet, Lord. But before we go out and before we do things, Lord, we would first draw near to you, first and foremost, Lord. We would recognize, you know, our walk with you is not about just getting stuff done. It's about, it starts with drawing close to you, being intimate with you, knowing you, Lord. And that we would do that as well and take the time to really draw near to you. And so, God, bring out that hunger in us and help us to prioritize our life to put you first. And I just bless everyone that's logged on today. Bless them to be so intimately aware of your presence, to be so connected with you. And Holy Spirit, would you lead them? Lead them in every aspect of their life, not just what they need to do, Lord, but that you would lead them in even in their relationship with you. You would lead them in their relationship with others. You would lead them through the words that they would even speak and the thoughts that they would process, Lord. Just lead them in all areas of their life. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining, and see you guys tomorrow.